When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk, folks. We are talking a little NBA action right now. For that, we welcome one of our favorites, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Nick, man, how you been doing, man?
guys, I am doing fine. I feel like I've been doing better than that poor fan base down in New Orleans.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah,
but everything is good, and I know we got a lot to get into today for sure.
Man, things were looking up for a little bit, Nick. We got to enjoy a five-game win streak, but now the Pellies have lost their last nine, and just really frustrating to watch the team play. And I know you mentioned it long ago when we first acquired them. Man, oh, man, I just want to take the ball out of Jordan Poole's hands. He is frustrating the heck out of me.
You are not alone. I feel like we all can take a collective deep breath because it is very similar to what I heard at times during Poole's tenure with the Warriors. He has a lot of talent, and he has really worked to get himself to this NBA level, but man, he takes some shots and just kind of gives the ball a headache, as my old high school coach would say. He just bouncing all over the place, and that's part of the experience. And it just has not worked, I think, pretty clearly at this point. But guys, there are so many issues when you look at the roster construction and what's gone on and what could happen. I think that sadly for the Pelicans, like Poole is one issue of about 12 or 13 different ones that they've got going on. But specific to Poole, this is who he is as a player. I mean, that part's not going to change, especially this far into his career.
8-31 for the second straight season, Nick. And, you know, it's listen, I wanted to actually bring up a specific moment that I think sums up the start of the season pretty well. And it was just a couple nights ago. Steve and I have already kind of ranted a little bit about this. But when they were hosting the Lakers, LeBron and Luka are both in town. And Trey Murphy has this incredible third quarter where the Pelicans, you know, despite a middling first half, they build up almost a double-digit lead in the third quarter. And then towards the back end of that frame, Nick, there was a stretch where LeBron started to heat up. And you could just tell from that point that the Pelicans were going to crumble. And it's exactly what they did. The fourth quarter was full of, you know, missed three-point shots. They just kept jacking them up, and none of them were going down. Turnovers, bad offensive possessions. And it goes back to something that when this losing skid that they're on had just recently started, reporters had talked to the players about it, and losing games in crunch time, losing in clutch moments where this team just doesn't really know how to win. I really can't even put it simpler than that. When you get in down to brass tacks, so to speak, and it's a close game in the fourth quarter, they shrivel up offensively. They just don't know what to do. And I think that is a massive reason why you're seeing, you know, once again, the second straight year of this team being 8-31.
I think that is very well put. And I think the problem, Charlie, is when you don't know how to win and you don't have the players that have been through it and the players that are out there aren't put in there together and can't find their rhythm as a group, well, you got major problems. And I think that's what we've seen in New Orleans over and over again. The when there is a way to lose a game, they will find it. And when you are watching a team that doesn't have confidence in itself, you are watching a team that is at the bottom of the NBA barrel. There's just not a lot of hope to even take out of it because you have these singular performances. Sometimes you go, oh, okay, like I start to see it, but When the games get tight and you have a bunch of players that haven't been at that level before, then they're just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Charlie, to your point, when you have that kind of record and you have that kind of record, and especially in those close games, you go, oh, no. And the story just continues to repeat itself. And that's why, like, guys, I on a broader note, and there are a lot of different directions we can go again. When I saw that Trey Young news come down last night, finally, the team I immediately thought of, not because I thought that they should have tried to acquire him, but the team I thought of, and it's in context our conversations through the last few years, is New Orleans. Because I'm sitting there looking at Atlanta going, all right, they finally did what they should have done several years ago, but they sold so low. And what did they get back in return that you really feel good about? I think we're just waiting for that next point with the Pelicans, because every time that we have talked over the last 3 years or so, it's like, you got to move on from Zion. You've got to just, you do it, because it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You need to get fresher guys in here, guys that you trust will be out there more on the floor consistently. And until you make that move and start to really revamp the roster that you have in place, good luck, is what I would say to Joe Dumars and company.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
On the line, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And Nick, you brought up, you know, the trade that just happened with Trey Young. We know the deadline is going to be February 5th, so that's rapidly approaching. And the silver lining, at least for this Pelicans team right now, is the rookies, Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, have been impressive, at least. You have some hope with them going forward, but if you're the GM of this Pel squad right now, do you have any other untouchables on this roster right now?
Hell no.
That was quick.
Yeah, that is as strongly as I can put it, because I am with you on the two rookies. They look great. And guys, what I would tell you, you know, I'm sitting here saying you can't live on hope. When you talk to people around the league about New Orleans, those are the guys they point to, like Trey Murphy, like they – You look at it and go, ah, okay, like I see some potential in maybe that next tier, but absolutely not. There are no other untouchables. You want the young guys to grow. If you can get other pieces back in return for the players in place now, you do it. And that's why no matter what it was at this point, if you're Dumars and you are in that front office, you have to have the honest conversation at the table and say, look, we are going nowhere. This is not happening for us. It just has not worked. So where do you start? You start with Zion and you make the move. You say, hey, everybody, look what just happened in Atlanta. This is not the direction that we want to go. It just has not worked. And you go from there. But, you know, whether it's Murphy, whether it's Herb, whomever it ends up being on that roster that is not those two younger guys, get everybody out, start fresh, and see what can happen. The problem is, as we know, when you trade the pick that they traded for Queen, I mean, guys, everybody around the league in the moment was sitting there going, oh, no. What? No. Oh, why? This team ain't going to be that good next year. And it happened. And now you have to deal with those consequences. But if I'm the GM, I'm sitting there saying, we cannot keep going the way we are right now. And if we do that, we're going to be in much bigger trouble a couple more years from now than where we're at in the moment.
Nick, we're less than a month away from the trade deadline, February 5th. It just feels like if the Pelicans aren't active with moving pieces, it would be a misstep, I think, from Joe Dumars, Troy Weaver, and that Pelicans front office. But at the same time, you look at some of the Pelicans players that I think still have value around the league. You mentioned Trey Murphy as one. You know, we've talked with different reporters about what his value would be. I think there would be multiple teams that would call and inquire about him, and maybe you get back into the first round for 2026. Because right now, with trading that unprotected pick like you had mentioned, and also, by the way, trading the Indiana Pacers top four protected pick back to them to get 23 last year, you could have had a couple of potential lottery selections in 2026. Instead, you don't have any. So at the same time, I think you have some pieces that have some value around the league that you could get back into the first round of the 2026 draft, and maybe even some future picks as well to continue building, like you said, around those two rookie pieces that you already have in-house.
Charlie, I hope that that Joe Dumars, Coach Weaver, everybody's listening to this conversation right now. I wish you could pipe it into the offices down there on Airline Drive, because that's exactly what should happen. Like, you get back the picks, you start fresh, and you move forward. If you sit there and don't do anything now, going into the deadline a few weeks from now, what are you even selling to the fan base that is so apathetic that they've got to be just sitting here watching these games, just shaking their head? I would tell you guys, anecdotally, and this is deeper than what deal should they make and what should happen in the next couple weeks. I was down there for that Warriors game a couple months ago. It was on that Sunday night. And I can never remember seeing the Steph Curry show in an opposing building since I've been covering the league about 15, 16 years now, where there was less buzz or interest in what was happening. I was in disbelief, and that's because the fan base down there in New Orleans has been so just kind of knocked over the head so many times. That
shell shock for sure, right?
Yeah, I felt awful because I know what it can be. I mean, I covered that playoff run when they got to the second round and everybody was going nuts down there and having such a good time. To see that juxtaposed against where you have Steph, who's the biggest draw in the NBA still, and you've got a half-empty crowd, I was shocked. So I'd pull it full circle, and I'd say, if you're Gail Benson and you're in that ownership group and you're looking around and you're saying, how do we re-energize a fan base that has largely seemed to check out day to day, you've got to start with changing the roster and getting back younger pieces and assets that are going to try and make this team better a couple years from now, because it's just not going to work. So this goes back to the same point. If it's anybody besides those younger guys that you've got who are seem to be developing well, get everybody else out of here. It's just not going to happen. And specific to Trey Murphy, I can tell you right now, one team that would love to have is the Golden State Warriors. I don't think they have the pieces to make that kind of thing work, but he has a lot of interest around the league, and he's a really talented player. I just don't think he fits into what I would have as the timeline if I were that front office right now.
Nick, you mentioned the crowd, and I wanted to ask you about this, so I'm going to go right there now. You know, fans, the diehard Pelicans fans, the true ones, they're kind of worried about, you know, hearing talks about expansion in the NBA to Las Vegas and Seattle, that maybe New Orleans would get, you know, moved on from here. Have you heard anything about timelines for the expansion teams or any rumblings about the franchise from New Orleans moving?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
But what I would say is, from the messaging that's come out from Adam Silver, it feels like we're going to get more of a timeline this summer. And if you are a diehard Pels fan, and I know they exist, I've seen plenty of them and talked to them during my time down there, I would be a little bit concerned, because if you have a team that has been run as poorly as they have been run for years and years, and the fan base is starting to check out, then I think anything could be on the table moving forward. Now, I've read the interviews that Gail Benson has done in the last few months, and it seems like she has no interest in selling, moving, etc. That's all well and good, but if you continue to not have fans showing up, and there's just a general lack of interest in your team compared to other markets that are dying to get the NBA in there, that's where I would start to be concerned. And so I don't think there's anything right now that's in the offing, but I think it could be there. And guys, I go back to, if you can't fill up the building for Steph Curry,
yeah,
there are real problems in a market. And to see that happen the other night, and I know there's plenty of other examples throughout the year, but to see that happen that night with the Warriors in town, that was a stunner.
It's been a rough year, Nick. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and a lot of Pelicans fans have watched it happen basically all over again. But, I mean, there was the injury excuse last year where, I mean, they get off to such a terrible start because who was playing? It was Brandon Ingram and G Leaguers, effectively. But this year you have some pieces healthy, and then you go through the coaching overturn, Jane Borrego's in. In something that we've talked about, obviously, before the season even started, Willie Green's hot seat and how long that ended up lasting. But also, bringing in a culture-setting coach is so important for, I think, an organization and a team like the Pelicans. Once you get to the offseason, it's something that you have to get right. You cannot swing and miss on that. I can't emphasize it enough how important it is to be able to bring in a coach. There's some good ones on the market, and I know that we've talked about a few of them off air, but it just feels like outside of trading some of the pieces on this roster ahead of the February 5th deadline, once the season's done and the coaching search begins, it can't just be, you know, like what they did with Dumars, where they effectively just brought him in without doing an extensive search to find their next president of basketball operations. You got to be able to find the right guy to lead this team into the future in the coaching position. But thankfully, there are some good candidates available.
Charlie, there are lots. And if the Pelicans screw this one up, then it goes back to what we were saying. Then you might have a real problem, and you might end up wanting to get your team out of there, because this is critical. You need somebody, and I think you nailed it. You need that culture setter. You need the person that's going to come in with a young team, with a team that doesn't have a lot to show for right now, and make them believe in the day-to-day again. And, I go back to there's one name, if I were Dumars and Weaver, that I would look to, and I know people roll their eyes and they go, "Oh, he's been in all these different stops." If I am the Pelicans, I am hiring Tom Thibodeau. Period. That is a guy that can get you from A to B at a minimum. He knows how to build different programs, and he knows how to get the most out of players in several different stops now. So, Michael Malone, I'm sure they'd be interested. He won a title. He helped develop Jokic and Murray. Great. If it's me, especially because I watched it so closely for so many years, the person who absolutely fits what New Orleans needs right now is Tibbs. And I think he would love to get back into the league and get a young team that's really off the radar back on the mark. But if you screw up the coaching hire on top of the personnel moves that have been made the last couple of years, then we're going to be having a different conversation a year or two from now.
Nick, always appreciate you dropping some knowledge on us. And when you were texting me and Charlie the other night, I hope you ended up having a double for us at the bar.
Steve, I would have had a triple if I could have. Good luck to everybody down there. I love talking to y'all, and I'll be here whenever you need me.
Thanks,
appreciate
Nick.
You the man, Nick. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.